I mean, we did our countdown a little bit differently today, so I'm nervous that it's not recording, but it looks like it is.
I think it's recording perfectly.
Wow. You sound excellent in my ears.
You sound excellent in my ear holes.
If I sound excellent, that's great because I'm not in a closet today.
Yeah, guys, Dina has upgraded.
I'm in my brand new studio.
But you do actually have those things on the walls, like a real studio professional.
Yeah, I mean, something that I think I should clarify, because now that, like, the episodes have been out and people are listening, like, somebody messaged me and was like, I'm like, right now you're talking about how big your bedroom is. And I was like, wait, I need to, like, bring that back a little bit, because I should also say,
Do you think it was confusing to people why you weren't recording in a big bedroom?
No, I think it was like, okay, Dina, we get it. Your fucking bedroom's a mansion.
Yeah.
But like, no, my bedroom is large for the size of this condo. And it doesn't, I'm not, like, I'm in a tiny, it's so self-deprecating, Dina. I'm in a condo. It's fine. It's very beautiful.
It's smaller than a mansion. It's bigger than a New York City apartment.
Sure. It's not a standalone home. It has one bathroom, but two doors to the one bathroom because duh.
Spooky.
Yeah. So I just wanted to clarify that. And also, I just wanted to say
that you're having a great hair day.
No, I wanted to say that no matter what I get shown for curly hair, I buy it.
Oh my gosh.
No
Dina,
matter.
Have you been? No, go ahead.
No matter the technique, I try it. And I was just like thinking two
this
things.
This sounds like a song is going to like, we're going to break into song. No matter what I'm shown, I buy it. No matter the technique, I try it. Oh my God. I'm going to be singing that every time I do my curly hair now.
Oh my God. I might too. And then I was thinking maybe we should have named this podcast The Two Curl Girls or something.
I mean, absolutely not. But
Oh my God.
Curl Girls. Except that, like, I have actually put on my Instagram, please tell me how to do my curly hair because I am at a loss. And also, I just want to say,
I'm crying.
On this topic, like, people responded to that Instagram story I put up a couple months ago and had really great tips.
Oh.
Others were like, what are you talking about? Your hair looks great. And I'm like, I understand, like, thank you. And I appreciate you saying it looks great, but you don't understand unless you have curly hair, how difficult it is. Just any consistent 2 days doesn't exist for me. Like, I'll do something with my hair one day. It will be the best hair day I've ever had. I'll do the exact same thing the next day. And it will look so terrible and feel sticky or frizzy. And it's like, no 2 days are ever the same for me. The only thing consistently that I've found that works is Weed Ad products.
What's this is what I'm asking you. What's this piece of straight hair in my curly hair? Taylor, if you...
It's just a nightmare and people don't get it. It's very difficult.
And if you have curly hair and you're not constantly trying to figure out how to make your hair curly, do you even have curly hair is what I want to know.
No, and if you think that you figured it out, like, you probably don't really have curly hair.
Well, Emmy Rossum, like, really did a great...
Okay, well, you know what? We followed this, like, 3 years ago when she went into her curly girl journey or whatever it's, like, the hashtag is. And she had, you know, every high-end, like, product maker of curly hair products sent to her, showed them all in her bathroom, and got to try them all out. And she was in her mansion. And every day she can do a different thing with her hair and let it, like, you know, diffuse dry it or air dry it or whatever it is. And it's like, I try one of those products. It's $40. It doesn't work. I'm out $40. And I'm resentful for the rest of my life.
Yeah. I just want to give a shout out to my sister-in-law, though, because, like, I don't know, 14 years ago, she was like, you really got to read this book. And I was like, I know how to do my hair. I just get Dep gel and I separate my hair into two and I put so much gel in every single part of it. And then I crunch it and then I hairspray it and then it's curly. And then I grew up.
Right. And well, I mean, this one mousse, it's like a Clairol mousse, is the one thing my sister and I have found works consistently, not the best. Like, I've found that Weed Ad works the best for me in the last few years. But this mousse that's like $4 is the one that has consistently been better than any high-end product I've tried. But I do want to say that when I was, I think, in like 6th or 7th grade, I realized, like, I thought that when I got out of the shower and my hair was soaking wet and I brushed it, you know how, like, when you brush it, it's straight for a second? I thought, your face is like, you know what I'm going to say. I thought that if I put gel in it right as I was brushing, that my hair would then be straight. And
it wasn't.
And it wasn't. Like, I was like, no, when I brush it, my hair gets straight for 0.2 seconds. So I didn't understand how putting gel in it at that exact moment wouldn't just keep it straight as it dried.
Yeah. I remember when I didn't. Here's the thing. I grew up in a house where, like, my sister doesn't have super curly hair. She has, I would say her hair is more straight than curly, but, like, it has a wave to it. And my mom definitely has curly hair, but, like, they got perms, you know? Like, when they were younger, mm-hmm. like, that was, like, what they always... I've never had a perm in my life. And so I just always wanted my hair to be straight because I wasn't really taught about curly hair. And I remember I used to blow dry my hair, curl it under, and then I would hairspray the part that I curled under and walk like this. So that it wouldn't move.
Like a ghost?
Like, I would, like, hold my hands. It was so goddamn messy. But I'm constantly trying to figure it out. It's always frizzy. Nothing works. I went to Diva Curl, sat there for 3 hours. Now their hair products, like, burn a hole in your head. So
I know people live by Diva Curl, but I swear to God, like, it's... I did it. Like, I went there. I got their, like, Diva... Yep. Curly Sean. Girl haircut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And look, I walked out of there. My hair looked, I mean, it probably looked the best it's ever looked, but at the same time, it was so curly that I straight up looked like Shirley Temple, which, like, is cute if you're going for that, but as an adult, it just was a little bit too curly. And since I don't wear my hair, like, crazy curly and down, I felt very self-conscious and was like, people are going to think I have a wig on, like, whatever. And so anyway, I tried their products and they just, like, they did not work again after the third day in a row.
No.
It made my hair feel so greasy.
Yeah.
And then I tricked myself. And 3 weeks ago, I bought another one of their products, used it last week, made my hair feel greasy. People Wait. Said it looked good, but it felt disgusting.
Diva Sean, is that what you're talking about?
No.
Or Diva, or... Cause,
aren't they the same thing? Diva Curl.
Well, whatever. You're not supposed to buy Diva Sean. Like, their shit... Maybe they, like, have a new formula, but they, like... There's a huge lawsuit against them.
Oh, well, that's good to know.
Yeah, but, like, same. I went
by,
there...
By Wee Dad.
Love Wee Dad. When I left Curly Girl Salon, my hair didn't look good, in my opinion, actually. And... I remember this woman was like, she was showing me how to use the, like, no poo shampoo and, like,
oh, I hate no poo shampoo.
What you want your hair to feel like. And she was like, and then I was like, dude, at the time I had a 4-year-old. I can't be in a shower for 20 minutes to make sure my hair has, like, a certain texture before I fucking leave the goddamn shower. Like, that's not happening.
Well, here's the problem, too, is, like, I understand the steps to take to make sure that I have a great hair day. Like, yes, it's not going to be as consistent every time, but overall, I know what to do. However, it takes 2 hours, like, really minimum, because you either have to diffuse it for at least 30 minutes to make sure it's perfect, or, which diffuse dry for curly-haired girls is, like, a claw... attachment to a blow dryer. I have the literal Diva Curl blow dryer that was a present to me from an ex-boyfriend, which I don't know what that means now. Wow. But like, it's just, I want my hair to look good. I don't care enough to get up 2 hours before I have to leave. I get up 20 minutes before I have to leave. That's probably on me. My hair could look better if I had more time in the morning, which I refuse to let myself have.
I don't know. Today, I did what you're supposed to do. I let my hair be soppy wet, glommed on whatever the fuck product was the newest one that I just bought, which is like some mousse. I don't know. And like, literally was dripping.
Well, yeah, it's supposed to be dripping.
Dripping goddamn wet, which is comfortable. Mm-hmm. And I sat and let it
air dry for 3 hours. Don't touch it. Have a microfiber towel.
Didn't touch it. And hey, guess what? Looks like shit. So great work.
I actually think it looks good.
What about
this? Minus that straight part. No, not that part. That part doesn't look good. But the rest. But that's the thing. There's so much hair. It's like if 70% of my head looks like good curls and the rest is like kind of a stringy frizz, I'm like, wow, look at me, freaking no. Princess walking down the street here.
I just put it up. That's all I ever do.
I mean, yeah, my hair is obviously up right now. Also, you know what's disappointing, just on this note, whenever my hair is straight, I seriously get people that like look at me longer on the street. Like people actually pay attention. Like, it's just attention that I have never been used to getting. And it's like, if my hair's straight, people just look at me different. Or they'll like compliment me or be like, you look so good. What is it? And I'm like, it's because it's not how I look every other day.
Yeah. It's like,
and it's not, it's like a compliment, but it's almost like an insult, because then I feel like, okay, cool, but I don't look this good every other time you see me, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're like telling me how wonderful I look with my hair straight and blonde.
Yeah, like, it's like, it's almost the opposite of like when somebody says, you look tired. It's like, well, fuck you. You look horrible too.
I am tired. I know. Oh, I was just gonna say, the really last thing is, one time someone said to my sister, you just look like you were meant to have straight hair.
No.
And that is like the most insulting thing. I mean, obviously she's never forgotten it. And her hair is curlier than mine. And her hair does look bomb straight. But it's like, don't say that to some, like, guess what? I wasn't meant to have straight hair because I don't have straight hair. I have very curly hair. Like, so get out of here.
Yeah. But I will say something that does annoy me about curly haired people is, if you have curly hair and you don't look into caring for it the proper way and you don't get it cut by somebody who like understands curly hair, and you have children that have curly hair and you don't properly take care of their hair, I have a problem with that.
Right. So you have a problem with me cutting my own hair for the past 5 months?
No, we're in a pandemic.
Yeah, it's gone really bad though. And the worst part is that like the first time I did it, I was like, wow, I'm a professional. I'm never going to get my hair cut again.
Yeah.
And then I did it like a month ago and really jacked it up. So anyway.
Well, I saw you last week and it doesn't look jacked. I think I decided though that my hair does need to be shorter on the top because it's like weighing it down. Like your curl starts up here. Mine like doesn't for some reason.
Yeah, your hair is more weighted naturally. I actually love your curls much more than me.
Mine. Gross. Okay. I wanted to check in on your supernatural like where are we on that?
I mean, I had to push back our recording today because I was finishing an episode. So that's pretty much where we are. Also, I was on FaceTime with Georgia earlier and was like, okay, I gotta go. I'm watching Supernatural. And she goes, what? Because I realized I hadn't been telling her that I've been, like, watching this semi-secretly in my free time. Guys, it's so good. I'm, like, mid-second season and, like, I don't know what to say. It's really got me. Like, it really has a developing storyline. I was just thinking, watching this episode, like, something I like about the show and any show that does this is there's two guys as the main characters, and they obviously survive every episode because they're the main characters. And I know that the show has a bajillion seasons, but I still am wondering almost in every episode, like, how are they going to get out of this one?
You're like the fucking key audience for this.
I know. I just love to be like spooked. I love like all the supernatural, like sometimes cheesy. I'm like, literally, I was lolling at like little parts of the episode when one of the brothers is like, who's like a ladies man, was making a couple silly comments and then was like, wow, I really am in it. Also, I started following them on Instagram.
Of course you did. So, I have to say that you're lucky that they're on Instagram, because I started a show that we talked about a couple episodes ago called Friday Night Lights. And I'm on episode 4 and I don't like it. And I don't understand if the people who were gung-ho about it, is it because TV has gotten that much better? And, like, it doesn't stand the test of time? Or is it just not my thing? Because, like, it's rated, like, 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
You know what does stand the test of time? Supernatural.
Uh-huh. Here's what I will say.
But Marley's going to be so upset at you.
I mean, I have to keep watching it, but, like, episode 1, something so tragic happens that I was like, this is how I fucking start a show? The way they record... I can't tell if this is, like, my migraine thing that, like, I've had going on since the pandemic started, but, like, I can't, like, see people's faces. I'm like,
that seems like a personal problem.
No, it's like when we were talking about Uncut Gems. Like, I can't follow.
God.
And, like, it's really close on people's faces, and, like, I love Minka Kelly, but it's like, can I see her from, like, back? I want to see her whole face.
Need to see her beautiful lips.
I mean, geez. The second thing is, and I texted you this yesterday, these people are supposed to be in high school and, like, not necessarily seniors, and they're having, like, sexual escapades as if they're, like, porn stars. And I'm telling you, people don't have sex like that in high school.
Well, look, no, they don't, but also, like, maybe Minka Kelly did.
Although, she's not one of the ones who's had sex yet. There's this little mix.
Oh, is she the church girl? Or is she, like, a little good girl?
I think so. But, like, I don't know. I assume that, like, changes.
I have also only watched, I think, 5 episodes of Friday Night Lights. I wish I could get into it, and maybe I will someday. As you guys know, I'm really busy right now with Supernatural. But...
which has 24 seasons.
It's 15, Dina. And it's a really, you know, it's a big time for them because they are filming their final season. So, you know, they've gone through a lot together.
Yeah.
But actually, I've heard from guys and girls to watch Friday Night Lights.
Same.
And that's what's, like, so shocking about the show, because you really don't hear that often.
I know.
And Marley... my best friend has told me to watch it for years and then texted me and told me to tell you that you should watch it after we talked about it on here.
Yeah, I mean, it's like what I've heard is Jason Kadams, is that his name, the executive producer? He also executive produced Parenthood, and everybody's like, if you like Parenthood, hey, guess what? Nothing like Parenthood. Love Parenthood.
Love it.
But whatever, I'm on episode 4. I'm going to continue because I've got nothing else going on except cold emailing interior design firms to see if they want me to intern for them. So, I mean, I'll just keep watching and, like, see where the fuck we go.
I love Zach Guilford, though. Is that his name?
Oh my God.
He is such a hottie.
And he's in Good Girls?
Yeah, I know. Ugh. And he looks the same.
I will say he looks, like, 10% better in Good Girls, but that's because he's not wearing 90s clothing.
Well, also, he aged and, I mean, hardly, but, like, still, he looks more like a man. And just, as we know, guys get better with age, so.
I mean, some guys.
Some guys.
Yeah.
Some guys.
Not all. So I knew this day was coming. It's been weeks where, you know, the whole idea for this pod was for us to be talking about friendships, but also, you know, weaving in why we feel like we connect so deeply with celebrities. And I will admit that I feel like I connect real deeply with many celebrities, but I was going to have to zero in on one, and I knew just who it was going to be. And so today we are going to focus on my celebestie.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought of that word and thought it was so silly and we'd never use it, but it just makes sense. And now it just makes me laugh.
And now it's like
celebestie.
Now it's trending worldwide.
Yes, it is.
So celebestie is obviously celebrity bestie, if you couldn't figure that out on your own.
Obviously.
And so I wanted to, before jumping into Jenny Mullen and telling you guys who she is, because some of you might be scratching your noggins.
I certainly am.
Something about me that I don't know if it's because, like, I went to school for marketing and I worked in marketing, but I am a word of mouth connoisseur. You know? Would you agree?
I was going to ask you to elaborate on what that means. But I think what you're getting at is, you know, you and I really loved, at least when we were in the office working together, it would be like, have you heard of this thing? Have you heard of this thing? And a lot of the things that we would use, or the coffee shops we'd go to, or the restaurants we'd try, or the podcast we'd listen to would be from someone recommending it, word of mouth.
Taylor, you got it. You pinned the nail on the head.
The nail on the donkey?
That's a tail. Pin the tail on a donkey. But
pin the tail on the donkey. That's what I did.
Either way, you got it exactly 100% right. You passed the test.
Yes.
And I would say, you know, just to hate on Taylor for a second, me more than Taylor, I obsess over a product and, like, don't shut the hell up about it until the people do what I say. And then I get really angry when people don't do what I say.
Yeah, it's makes perfect sense, Dina.
It's kind. It's kind.
It's my way or the highway.
Uh-huh. Yeah, black or white.
Dina's way or the highway.
Yeah. And for instance, you know, there's a razor that Taylor and I love called Billie, B-I-L-L-I-E, that I was shouting from the rooftops because it gives you a shave like none other.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, I think it was over the weekend.
And you found out that I'd been using it for months and were insulted because I hadn't told you.
Oh my God, we were in a meeting and I was talking about this razor and Taylor was like, oh yeah, it's the best. I've been using it for 6 months. I was like, how do you not tell me that?
It was almost the end of our friendship.
Yeah. And then recently, I have hated on this Spindrift. Would you call it a seltzer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a flavored seltzer.
Flavored.
I mean, it's everywhere now. It's in Starbucks and stuff.
Yeah. I've been hating on it since I heard about it. I'm like, that is so ridiculous and it's gross. I actually don't think I ever even drank it before saying that it was gross. And so Paul came home with these two huge things of Spindrift, and I was like, those are disgusting. You're silly.
You silly goose. Turn around and leave this home.
Like, why wouldn't you come home with vintage or LaCroix or something?
Oh, like vintage right here that I'm drinking?
I'm jealous every time I see that bottle.
I love vintage seltzer.
Same. And it's like 69 cents a can.
It's so cheap, and I just think it's the best one.
I agree. So, I don't know what happened, but Paul was drinking this lemon Spindrift, and he was like, just take a sip. I was like, ugh. And he was like, take a sip.
You're like a child.
I am. I took a sip of this thing, And when I say it was the best thing in the entire world, I obviously texted Taylor right away and I said, and I went back on everything I ever thought about Spindrift and I was like, if you don't try this drink, you're going to be so upset about it. And I was like, it was the, what did I say? It was like the best liquid that ever touched my lips.
Yep, that's what it was.
It's very disgusting. And, you know, so now I'm obsessed with it and like we'll tell every single person, depending on the flavor, that they need to try this thing. So the reason
I was just going to say, it's like that meme I feel like I sent you recently where it said, you know, something along the lines of, oh, I had a really eventful weekend. I went to Costco and got a 30 pack of green iced tea. I tried at a party and enjoyed. And like,
you didn't send me that.
That was the weekend, and I just related so deeply as just, like, the little things that you get so excited for.
It's like in the...
like a new seltzer flavor.
It's like in the 40-year-old virgin when he talks about making the egg salad over the weekend, and Seth Rogen's yeah. like, literally nobody cares. So the reason that I say all that is because Jenny Mullen was so different. Like, I didn't shout her from the rooftops, and I don't know if it was because of a mixture of things. Like, one, people wouldn't know who she is, or two, I just wanted to keep her to myself. So exposing her through this podcast, like, I'm going to expose her because she doesn't have, like, hundreds of thousands of followers. But this is very – this is a big step for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely that you wanted to keep her to yourself.
Yeah,
that's what I think.
Yeah, I agree. So, Jenny Mullen.
Well, first of all, who is she? What's she about? What's she look like?
Oh my God!
I have a lot of questions. And also, I'll just say, I really didn't know who Jenny Mullen was. I don't think I knew who she was at all until I met Dina, and you were very kind of cagey about it. Like, you weren't letting people in on your love for her. And it became obvious once she it became obvious once we knew she was, like, sometimes around our neighborhood when we were working. And then I saw just all of the love come out because you were really trying to keep it cool but couldn't believe that she was there and, you know, didn't tell you that she was in the neighborhood, which we'll get to.
Yeah.
But I didn't know who she was, and I was surprised to hear this love affair from your end.
So Jenny is, I think she started off as an actress.
Classic.
Yeah. She transitioned into an author. And I don't know how to describe her now. I mean, nobody's doing anything right now, but she has a really significant social media following. I was going to say she's a comedian, but she's 100% not a comedian, but she makes me laugh, and her sense of humor is very in line with mine. And she is married to Jason Biggs.
American Pie Jason Biggs.
The one and only.
You were going to say it too. The one and only. But he really is.
Well, what's interesting about that is that, so I was introduced to whoever Jenny Mullen is when I was listening to an interview with her and Jason on Howard Stern. Mm-hmm. And she was telling a story about, it was like a big birthday for Jason. They were in Vegas and she was like trying to get somebody to come over so they can have a three-way or something. Like something that Jason never even...
Very Howard Stern.
Yeah. Something that Jason never said he ever wanted, but she was like, I'm going to do this thing and be the best wife ever. And I started to become interested in her, not because of similar interests, but because just the way she was telling the story, she just felt so relatable to me. And it was like 100% I could be friends with her. And there's several celebrities that, like, we'll go throughout this podcast that I feel that I could be friends with, but still feel a little bit nervy around. Like, if I ran into Busy Phillips, I would, like, be a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Aaron Foster, who you know I adore, like, I would feel just, like, a little bit, I would feel starstruck and, like, I don't really know what to say. With Jenny, I just, like...
And, like, intimidated.
Yeah. With Jenny, I just feel, she's just...
First name basis.
Yeah. She feels like... I was gonna say she feels like home, but, like, she feels... That's
exactly.
She feels like a friend.
Uh-huh.
And so I started to follow her after that in the sense that I got both of her books so I could, like, fully understand where she came from. And then I realized that she was good friends with Chelsea Handler, who also, I love Chelsea Handler. But, like, again, if I ran into Chelsea, I would be, like, so...
Oh, I would never talk to her.
Tongue-tied.
She'd be so scary.
Yeah. And then I found out she was good friends with Busy Phillips, so it was just, like, this full circle thing.
But isn't that so weird when, or at least I think it's so crazy, when I find out that these celebrities that I like, or, you know, I find someone in a movie or whatever it is, and then realize that they have this whole life just like a normal human being, but they're, like, when I say this whole life, it's like they'll go out with someone at dinner, they'll be seen with, you know, Cameron Diaz and Drew Barrymore. And I'm like, oh, right. Because they're both actors. They, like, met on a movie years ago, maintained a friendship since then. But that's their group of friends.
Yeah.
It's like A-list celebrity Hollywood. And it's just so intertwined with who knows who and who's dated whose friend. And, like, I just love it. And I also love when, you know, they talk about, like, the friends that, and I think Jenny Mullen probably does this, but has friends that are celebrities, but also probably a ton that aren't.
Oh, yeah. Well, what's interesting is in one of her, another reason why I think I related to her is because, like, to me, she's a celebrity, right? But, like, in her book, she's describing her friendship. I'm pretty sure it's with Busy Phillips. Like, she never says her name. And she talks about Busy as if Busy is, like, Julia Roberts, like, that level of fame. And like, she would get nervous if, like, Busy was coming to her house. Like, they'd have to make sure that they had, like, the cleanest house and, like, the right food and all of the stuff. And I was like, that's so relatable.
Someone always has that friend.
Yeah, like, that's so relatable to me. And so I just, like, really started falling in love with her. And I think my, like, I don't know what the right word is, but yeah, once we started working where we were working together, and, like, she was, like, making these, like, for lack of a better word, drive-bys, I was like, oh, 100% we could be friends.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there...
She's going to the same coffee shop.
Yeah, like, to. She's touchable. Touchable? Tenable?
Just reach out and touch
her. Yeah. So that's how that all started for me. With
well, yeah,
Jen.
And also
with
it's,
Jen, I think I just said.
I think it's easier to picture something like this if you're already inclined to do that with a person when they are, one, very active on social media, mm-hmm. and two, we live in New York and she lives in New York. And something about that always feels like it could happen. Mm-hmm. And I personally, I mean, no one asked, but I will say that I didn't follow her. I think now I do. I'm not sure. But because I just felt like she was so over the top with stories mm-hmm. and...
Early. Like, before, like, that was what you do. She was, like, yeah, a story and queen.
Exactly. And it was something that it just felt like it's all about me. Me. And it just bugged me and... Then it would be, you know, a couple months later, I'm like, huh, I wonder what she's up to.
Yeah.
And I'd look at her stories or something, and I'm like, maybe that's her thing. Like, I think she's aware that she can be annoying, but she's like, they always come back.
You know what's like, interesting is she was hanging out with Busy and some other friend, and the other friend is who convinced Busy to start, like, upping her game on Instagram.
Wow.
Yeah.
Which really... sent her trajectory
through, like, the roof.
Through the roof.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
and Busy I love, but we'll talk about her another time.
We will. We shall.
So what do you think that, like, if you saw her, what do you think your reaction would be?
You think that I would talk to her. And I think I would want to talk to her. But the thing is, like, something that Paul always tells me to say, like, if I ever see a celebrity, like, one time I was in a Starbucks and Joe Torre was there. And he, for those of you who don't know, he's, like, the old New York Yankees manager.
That's why I don't know.
I'm saying it because Taylor Sports. Didn't know. I saw it in her face.
Just a complete blank stare.
And
Joe Woody?
And Paul always says that, like, if you just say big fan, like, hey, like, big fan, and walk away, like, that's not annoying. But with Jenny, that's weird, I feel like.
Because she's, like, not a celebrity?
In a sense.
Yeah.
Like, big fan.
Like, big fan of you talking into your phone.
Right, like, what are you a fan of?
Your book.
I'm a fan of...
Big fan of your writing.
Your book and the big salads that you eat. So, I guess because... I guess that I would say something to her, but I'm not sure what. I might... No, I was going to say I might comment. She, like, does... Something that also attracted me to her was that she's a very interesting parent. She's a different parenting style than me, which normally, like, turns me off from a person. Not turns me off necessarily.
Yeah, you've mentioned that, though.
That it's hard to actually be friends with people who parent differently. But, like, she's very in touch with her children's, like, mental and physical well-being. And I'm, like, very intrigued by that. Obviously, most parents are, but the way that she goes about it, I really appreciate. And she, like, educates and informs, like, her followers on, you know, different foods that, you know, she substitutes instead of X, Y, and Z for her kids. So I was going to say that I might comment on that, but that's such a weird first interaction. Like, thanks for the child tips.
Yeah, the food tips. They're loving their carrots.
Yeah, so I guess I would say hi to her.
I think you'd say, like, hey, big fan, because that would be running through your head. And then she'd be like, oh, thanks, and then jump into a yoga studio or something.
Yeah, but, like, the problem is I have to figure out the right thing to say so that the conversation...
So that she says, cool, thanks, want to be my friend?
Yeah, so that the conversation continues.
The thing is, Dina, I don't think that it's ever going to continue.
I know. But I want...
Like, I...
I know.
I know. I know. I feel like you just got so sad. I feel like there's... It's a different world. And I can't imagine if I was a big fan of a celebrity and I saw them... Even if it was, like, you know... I was so chill and cool with approaching them or whatever it is, or if I had, like, the perfect line, it's like, I don't think they're going to want to be my friend. They've got a whole life, you know. There's no way to bridge that gap of, like, I'm a stranger who may or may not have stalked you for the last few blocks to do this little meet cute, but that's beside the point. And now... Like, that's all it is. And then it's a nice story.
Yeah,
you need to put Jackson in the school with her kids. I think that would be a way.
It's funny because at a previous job, I was working on something with Jennifer...
Aniston?
A celebrity Jennifer...
Garner.
Nope.
Lawrence. I'm naming the biggest ones.
I know. She has black hair. She's really skinny. She's very pretty. She's the voice of Spider-Man's suit on the new Spider-Man movie.
What? Is she, like, a young person?
No.
A young person. Older. How old am I?
Oh, Jennifer Connelly.
Oh.
So I was working on a project with her, and she had brought her like, 8-month-old kid, and I think Jackson was, like, a year or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, we were in the back, like, green room, and her daughter was, like, crying or something. Like, it was the most inappropriate time for me to say this, but I was like, I have a cute boy for her.
But also, like, how many times do you think parents say that?
Oh, my God.
Like, if I had a kid who was a boy at the same time that a friend had a kid who was a girl, I'd be like, can't wait for them to get married.
Oh, it's so annoying. And they're, like, going to be best friends.
Yeah, that's a normal thing.
Yeah, they're going to hate each other, by the way. Because normally, yeah, like, those forced friendships, you're like, can we not go to their house today? I hate that kid.
Yeah, but maybe it's one of those things where then you get a little older and you're like, oh, we've been in love all this time. And then it's the most adorable story. And you take that chance,
yeah,
to have the cutest story in the history of the world.
But you don't fucking put it out there with Jennifer Connelly.
Yeah, maybe not.
She looked at me and was like,
"It." No, what would be amazing is if you didn't have a child.
I know.
Like, oh, I've got a cute boy for her.
Oh, my God. That's so funny. So,
and then you just follow her.
So, yeah, I guess I would say something to her, like, big fan. Or maybe I would thank her for, like, introducing me to a product. But, like, on the top of my head, I wouldn't, like, remember.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe, like, Drunk Elephant. Have you heard of this line? Yeah, you have.
Yeah, yes, because of
because
you.
Because of me. I would thank her for that because she introduced me to them.
I just feel like there's – I feel like it's a special thing because when you say, yes, I want to be, like – my celebrity friend that I think I could actually be friends with is Jenny Mullen. Mm-hmm. I have such a different feeling around this because I feel like I have a lot of people that I know a bunch about or I really admire. And maybe it's my own limiting beliefs of, like, you're not going to be,
whoa,
friends with them. Whoa. Mm-hmm. But I just feel like I'm not going to be friends with this person, and I don't feel like we would be friends unless we grew up together. Like, I think I would be friends with Jennifer Lawrence if we grew up together.
Mm-hmm, that makes
sense. I don't think if I met her now, she and I would be friends. But I do very much admire her and admire a lot of people. But I guess I have that feeling of if I saw someone that I really liked, I wouldn't say anything. But why not take the chance? Why not say, hey, thanks for introducing me to, I don't know, Drunk Elephant products. My face feels so soft.
You want to feel it?
Thanks. Yeah, you want to feel it? No, I know you live around here. I'll just come over.
Oh, you want to show me the rest of the ones that you have in your house? Sure, I've got time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I do think that she is someone who hit the jackpot. Because, and I think that's a little, maybe a little mean, but I did not know who she was before Jason Biggs. I'm sure she would still be herself, but it seems like they're now a power couple and have this really great balance between them as a partnership.
Yeah, what's interesting.
If I can take what's on social media into real life.
Yeah, I was going to say, if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have jumped back into, like, caring about Jason Biggs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she kind of, like, humanized him for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, because I think, and something that I do like is it seems, I like when couples are very different. He seems much more private and she's very open. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like seeing that balance. And it reminds me a little bit, just because we were talking about busy, I don't know anything about her husband. He's rarely in her posts. And I just think that's kind of nice. Because what would the... There has to be some sort of a balance. And if both of them were super out there, it kind of takes the magic away or something. Whereas her kind of making fun of Jason in her own stories and him, you know, not really having a reply. And then he did start doing stories for a little bit and it was very funny.
So funny.
You know, was obviously an influence of her, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't as if he was, you know, going somewhere to post or to, I don't know. It was a little bit more very, very him, and it was nice to see him as a real person rather than just an actor. Mm-hmm. And it seems like when you're older and you get social media, but you've been famous for a long time, it's so weird to see how these people are humans, like you and I, and actually have families and different things that go on with them, not just a movie they were in 20 years ago.
Well, that's the thing that I think is important. Like, you and I wanted to do this podcast and, like, focus on friendships and have the celebrity piece and not, like, be this, like, rumorville for celebrities, but it was, like, trying to, like, figure out. And I guess it has a lot to do with social media, right? Because, like, before that, you didn't have this link into these people's lives to feel like you could have any sort of relationship with somebody who's, like, X times more known than you. But now that, like, social media...
It was one-way communication fan mail to a P.O. box.
Stop making fun of me.
I'm not making fun of you. I'm making fun of me. Okay. Didn't I tell you I sent a letter to the Oscars?
Yeah. Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You
gave the wrong person the award. It was Leo. By a mile.
It's always Leo.
Also, I'm 11. Please respond.
Also, I'm 6. And I just saw Titanic.
No, that was years later. I was a little bit older. My handwriting had really improved.
So I think that it's, like, intentional. Like, as you and I continue to, like, bob and weave the understanding of friendships and why different things exist, I think that it is interesting that there's some sort of, like, chemical thing that, like, draws you, A, to your actual friends, and then B, to feeling so connected to these celebrities. And, like, not to, like, blame them, but, like, part of it is on them, right? They're, like, putting their life out there for you to see because it's a cool way for them to connect to people that support them so much.
But it also, I mean, I just can't imagine. I know how I've reacted internally to even thinking about being vulnerable and talking into a microphone to you, but having people able to listen, and how I've, you know, dealt with that and really tried to push myself to be more comfortable with that, because I think that it's something that I need to work on a little bit in order to grow. And especially since podcasting sounded so fun to me and such a great way to be creative and work with friends and, you know, just learn new things that we're quite frankly learning as we go and teaching each other as we figure this out. It was so uncomfortable for me, even knowing all of that, to be public with this. And when we first launched, like, recently, I thought, oh my God, what if people listen and hate it, but they tell me that they like it? That would be the worst thing in the world.
It's potentially, like, happening.
I know, it's probably happening right this moment. Yeah. But, I mean, that's such a tiny, I can't even stress how little it actually matters in the grand scheme of things. And then thinking about a celebrity that pretty much, I think, either has two choices. They're so famous that they don't need to have any social media, and that kind of creates this allure around them. But then there's this other kind where I think more people are driven into and kind of are have to kind of take this route in order to be relevant, which is create a social media account, get a following, and also maintain it. And not only the pressure with maintaining social accounts and posting, but then, one, being careful about everything you say nowadays because you'll be canceled in a second. Two, relating to people who have loved you or had this image of you for 20 years or 30 years or 10 years, but now we're getting to know you as a, you know, quote unquote, real person. And, like, I'm thinking right now of Jennifer Aniston, who got Instagram and immediately blew it up or whatever happened.
In 1 minute.
But I kind of liked that she didn't have any social media. You know, it was just she's this person who kind of floats in the background. She knows that she's an A-list person. She'll always have friends. You know, she's set and she's good. And I do think that she was kind of pushed into it just because I think it's sad that everyone is. I mean, I don't have Facebook, and I've had people say, "Are you okay? What's going on?" because they search my name on a social media site and I'm not there, or whatever it is. And it's just so crazy that that's the way that we feel connected. And I'm so guilty of it because I feel like I know even what my friends are doing and going through because of things I've seen on social media.
Yeah.
Like, there's these nice things about it, but it's also so, so intense to think about being a celebrity and getting all of the good pieces of it and the positive feedback, but also all of the people that just say crazy things and negative things and hurtful things that you just can't filter out if you're going to open up this wormhole, so to speak.
I also wonder, though, like, obviously there's a lot of negative connotation around social media, but when it comes to, like, building relationships, like you talked about, being relevant, but I also wonder if part of it for a celebrity is, like, I get it. They obviously have their own lives and their own friends, but, like, the reason why they're so popular is because there's millions of people who are their fans, and maybe mm-hmm. there's a piece of some of them that wants to connect or communicate, because that's what, like, makes any relationship stronger. And so there could be a part of that, and maybe that also, like, helps their it could also, like, help them mentally. Who knows?
But then it's, like, a weird high.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Like, a high and then, like, very high highs, very low lows. That's what I would imagine.
I'm sure. Something that I wonder, and I think we touched on this with Louisa? I don't know. Is okay, Dina, like, obviously all of us think that we would connect, like, with these celebrities because we think we know them so well because of social media and just, like, being so public, but, like, mm-hmm. then you look back on, like, well, what are they gonna get from you? Like, what's the point of them being your friend? And I think, I don't know, like, I've never interviewed any of my friends and been like, why are you friends with me? But
we should do that. Let's change the podcast.
Okay, I'm game.
But we pretend it's very chill conversation. And then we grill them.
But I feel like people tend to come to me for advice and more so, like, around their kids because I think that it stems from the fact that I had a baby when I was 26. And so I've, like, hit on a couple of different phases that a lot of people haven't hit on yet. She reaches out a lot to people on, like, oh my God, my kid's doing this thing. Like, what do you guys do when they do that? And I think that her kids also, frustrate her when it's, like, sleep time. And I was mm-hmm. like a crazy person about Jackson with sleep. Like, anybody who I'm friends with who has a kid knows that, like, Dina is the crazy sleep lady. So
that's what they all say. There goes the crazy sleep lady again.
It is. It's hashtag.
It's hashtag.
So I think that that would be, like, one of my, like, strengths for her to bond up with me. Oh, something else that I feel like I connect with her on. And I don't remember when I learned this. It might have been on her trip to, where did you say you do ayahuasca? Peru? That's where people go?
Something like that.
So she went there with Chelsea for, like,
Chelsea Handler. Chelsea. To be clear.
Listen, I'm on a first name basis with everybody. Like, I literally never refer to Jenny as Jenny Mullen in my house. It's only Jenny. So she has a keen eye for interior design, and, like, has an obsession with rugs, has an obsession with furniture. So I don't know how to define this. We will have to figure it out as this goes on, because I keep calling it, like, go on a date with her. But I would want, like, that. She has this really awesome, funky table with these really cool chairs. And I always want to, like, ping her and be like, where'd you get those chairs? But I know she's going to be like, A, she's not going to respond. But B, she's going to be like, oh, they're from blah, blah, blah. They're only $5,000 a piece. Yeah.
ABC Kitchen.
Yeah. I just want to sit in one of those chairs because, like, I look at them all the time and I'm like, they look like maybe they'd be comfortable, but also not comfortable. So I want
to. Now I have to see them.
So I want
to
sit in that and, like, have a cup of coffee and just, like.
French braid her hair.
Nope. I don't want to touch her.
Nope. Hard no. Hard pass.
Talk about different recipes because she does cook a lot. I don't think she feigns herself as a great cook, but she likes to make sure that, like, they know where their food's coming from. So I might, like.
And you're very like that.
Yeah. So I might, like, pick her brain on that and, like, share some things that I do with, like, food and stuff. That's what I would love to do with her. Yeah, I feel like my ideal date with, like, anybody is that, actually.
Yeah, just being inside somewhere cozy.
Yeah, somewhere cozy.
Yeah.
Except I agree. With guy friends on the couch.
No. In your pajamas.
Eating popcorn.
Eating popcorn, just like you do with all your guy
but friends. But also, I don't do that with my girlfriends.
No.
Yeah.
I don't do that, period. I mean, I'll eat ice cream on the couch every night, but...
With you, yeah. I mean, I would sit on the couch with you and eat ice cream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be weird if you didn't, if you were over at my place. But I will say that the other day, Jeff was out and came home and was like, oh my gosh, I have gossip to tell you. And I got so excited because he and I love gossip and I feel like our life is just... perfectly boring, but in kind of a good way. But I immediately go, okay, let me put on my jammies and then I'll come back out and I'll be ready. Like, I had to get in my jammies, my pajamas, and and, like, sit down and get, like, my ice cream, and then I was ready to hear the gossip.
You were like,
which also was one sentence.
Ugh, because guy's idea of like, I have a thing I have to tell you, and then it's nothing.
Right. This actually was good, but it was, like, not enough of the information I needed. So
yeah, I'm with you.
You know, so I just have to be I have to be patient, and I gotta wait until more comes down the pipe. But yeah, I mean. Any comfortable sitting or, like, information or talk, I need to be in pajamas.
I get it.
Or pajama pants, at least. I'm in pajama pants right now.
I get it. You look businessy on the top.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I do. It's just a Zara shirt.
It's really cute. So, I'm going to be continuing to assess and reassess my, relationship with Jenny, but if you guys don't know who she is and you're into, like, behind the scenes, I'm very obsessed with behind the scenes stand-up comedy stuff and, like, very obsessed with, like, how things work in, like, that world. So if you're into that and how people get to where they are, or just, like, you need some, you know, a break in your, like, daily negative scrolling on social media, I would follow Jenny. I would read her books. They're funny. One's called Live Fast, Die Hot. One's called I Like You Just the Way I Am, which I think are funny. Aren't they funny titles?
Yeah, I didn't know that those were the titles.
Those were the titles.
It's, like, so stupid, but so funny.
So funny.
I love you just the way I am.
If you know, want to know about really great products that Taylor and I use, we'll gladly tell you. This Billy razor, I can't even tell you how.
Seriously, like, we need to advertise for them. I would love to talk all day about Billy. Just the packaging alone.
Oh, the packaging is amazing. That shave cream.
I haven't tried it.
I used it and then I didn't renew it because it was like, I don't know, like, because you can also just use, like, conditioner. But
we're just doing a nice dry shave.
I would not recommend that. But like that, drunk elephant products, I could like talk to you about them for a really long time. So like ping me about that. But like us on social media, follow us. Like if you listen on Spotify, you have to follow. If you listen to us on Apple, you have to subscribe. And
subscribe.
It's really annoying that we keep saying this, but it's the only way that we become more discoverable to people who don't just follow us on social media. We are at Unlikely Friendships Pod on Instagram. We are at Pod Unlikely on Twitter, which we're trying to figure out how to, you know, play with Twitter correctly. But follow us in both places anywhere, and you'll get the scoop, and you'll get some funny snips.
The scoop.
And
scoop, scoop.
Scoop, doop. And Jenny, I hope that if you ever hear this, you are honored and not offended or scared.
Jenny, no reason to be scared. I will just say, if you ever listen to this and you DM Dina or write her a letter, P.O. Box.
P.O. Box.
Jersey. New Jersey. No other information.
Yeah.
She would die. She'd be so excited.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I guess I'll give you a follow if I'm not already.
Oh, you totally should. And anybody out there who has a celibacy who wants to share, as I just shared, we can make it less scary or more scary if you want. We want to hear from you. So DM us.
DM us. All right. Well, thanks guys.
Later.